WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what you do when you collect 60,000 pin buttons? You make a museum. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Reset's been exploring off-the-beaten-path museums and galleries all summer, and for our latest in the series, we sent two producers to Logan Square to an archive of pinback buttons. That spot is none other than the Busy Beaver Button Museum. We sat down with Reset producer Micah Yasin and production intern Ellie Gilbert Bear to hear about their visit. I started by asking why they wanted to visit the museum in the first place.
Well, for me, I like to be able to express myself, you know, things that I like, things that I support, in just different ways. So if you know anything about me, you can hear me come into the room because you can hear my backpack.
That is very true. So
usually my backpacks or like purses, things like that, are like decked out in random things like pins, keychains, and you guessed it,
buttons.
Exactly. And I used to have I had a stint in high school where I collected buttons for a little bit too.
That sounds like fun. What about you, Ellie? What drew you to this museum?
Yeah, I love trinkets of all kinds, little things that I can collect. Like Micah, I used to collect stickers and pins. I now collect zines, which are little handmade booklets that people make for lots of different reasons, like self-expression or political protesting. And I think buttons can be a pretty similar type of expression and capturing of history.
So I'm dying to know what this place looks like, Micah. So describe it for us.
Well, first we have to start outside.
Okay.
Because when you approach the building, you can see a sign that has like an illustrated beaver on it and it says hello. And it's it's actually a 3 feet wide baby blue button. So if you look on the back, there's like actually a pin.
I
know.
The back of the building?
The back of the actual sign is like a pin.
Oh my goodness.
So it's just it's a giant pin. So it's very fitting. So when you first walk through the door, you first see a giant gumball machine. It's called the Buttonomania. Essentially, it's just like it dispenses different buttons, and it's about as tall as me. So,
which, tell the listeners how
tall
you are.
Which is like 4'11".
Okay.
So it's about like 5 feet or so. But yeah, you can find them like all around the city. You can find them at like different restaurants and record stores. So there's a chance you've probably seen it before. Mm. And so when you walk in, you walk into like an office space, and it's more so on the right. And then on the left, you can see just a line of displays of thousands of buttons. And it's very loud because you can hear people on the other side of the building actually making the buttons. We actually talked to co-curator Joel Carter describing the space for us.
So this is the office and the museum side. So we have our sales and marketing, customer service, and print and design on this side, and us. And then on the other side is the identical shape, but that's where all the buttons and stickers get made, the production facility.
So yeah, like what I was talking about, you can hear the buttons being made on the other side, and then there's a stretch of display cases on your left, and there's also flat files people can go through and see all different kinds of buttons too.
Very cool. Now, Busy Beaver, Ellie, it's not just a museum, right? It's also a button company, isn't it?
Yeah, so the button company came first. It was founded by Kristen Carter. She was in a punk band in 95 and noticed that no one was making those little one-inch punk band buttons, so she wanted to do it herself.
Ah, very smart.
Yeah, and now she runs it with her brother Joel, kind of a power duo.
Okay.
So they make buttons, of course. They also have expanded to stickers and enamel pins, which Micah and I were super excited to learn about.
Of course.
And then the museum came to be in 2009 as a way to display the history of buttons that they know a lot about. They were telling us about it our whole trip there. And also, Kristen and Joel kind of naturally created a collection over the years just by loving buttons, so they wanted a place to kind of show them off.
Nice. Well, help us with more of that visualization, Ellie. What else can you see inside the space?
So on the museum side, they have so many different kinds of buttons on the walls. They're categorized by theme and vertically arranged by how old they are. So hats off to their librarians.
Seriously.
Some of the categories were Chicago, self-referential, which are buttons that refer to themselves as buttons, some advertising ones, some clubs. There was one that was Chicago Park's Anti-Litter Club, but fan clubs like Mickey Mouse Club, Tonsils Out Club. Kristen mentioned that some dentists used to hand out pinback buttons after they had a trip to the dentist. So yeah, they just had so many different types.
So instead of toothbrushes, you were getting buttons?
Yeah, I guess so. Not quite as useful as a toothbrush, but
you can show off that you just went to the dentist.
Yeah, you can brag to people about how clean your teeth are.
Wow.
But the whole archive has about 60,000 buttons, they said, and 9,000 of them are on display. So it's a pretty huge collection. And they're actually in the Guinness Book of World Records largest museum display of pin badges.
You know what? You had me at the self-referential buttons. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, buttons that refer to themselves as buttons?
It's kind of meta.
I gotta see those. But also, I gotta ask, Micah, why buttons? I mean, why was it so important to them to collect buttons, of all things?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, one of their missions as a museum is to really capture American history through buttons. You know, buttons really kind of started off as political propaganda tools, you know, for like presidential campaigns and things like that. And now they've sort of evolved to be markers of like popular culture, social movements, and even just, you know, self-expression. I think Busy Beaver owner Kristen Carter put it really well. You know, she said that buttons really tell a people's history.
There are really large things that are well documented of buttons, and there are smaller things that I never learned about in like history class or something like that. So you really learn about what was important to people and how they expressed them and how they built community through buttons, like spreading awareness. It's cool, like looking over time how people, things were different, you know, like what people cared about, like causes that people cared about since 1896 to now.
Listen to all that button production happening in the background.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Exactly. And exactly what Kristen was saying, you know, buttons are like a short, snappy expression of like who you are, what you believe in. And she used Twitter as an example. Like, it's a short expression in text. But the thing is, what's different is like on Twitter, you can be anonymous.
Yeah.
But buttons, it's like something you actually have to stand behind, like literally, like you're wearing it, you're wearing it on your sleeve and you're showing it off.
Yeah. I'm so glad for that breakdown, too, because I feel like there are some people that think buttons are just useless.
Right.
And that's not the case.
Not the case.
Did you two have a favorite button?
There were a few that I liked.
I knew you would have more than
one. Yeah, there were a few. Like you mentioned in the intro, there was a John Lennon and Yoko Ono button. I really liked it because it was in the shape of a heart. Like,
aww.
Come on. But their pre-button collection was really interesting. So we heard Kristen talking about, you know, things that were important to folks starting in 1896. And that year is important because that's when the pin back button was patented or invented.
Okay.
And so they had what they're calling pre-buttons, which were like things that resembled buttons but were made way before that time. And so there was an Abraham Lincoln pre-button that was created during his presidential campaign too. There was one category called causes of buttons. There was one that just said marijuana ? No! ! And I just thought it was pretty funny.
Oh my goodness. What about you, Ellie?
Yeah, this is a very hard question for me.
You couldn't just pick one, could you?
No, I definitely could not. There were a bunch of really cool buttons there. I really loved the unconventionally shaped buttons, which the museum called innovative buttons. There was one troll doll button that had an actual tuft of hair coming out of the top. I love that one. I like to collect little troll dolls every so often. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
If I could have taken one, that's the one I would have taken home.
The button version of it? That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then I also loved the panic button, which was a button that had an actual button you could press on top of it. It was one of the self-referential buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just any of the political activist buttons were super cool because a lot of the messaging stayed the same over time and also a lot of it changed. And so it was kind of fun to track aesthetically how that was represented.
Over time. Yeah, that's cool too. Anything else you learned about buttons after your visit, Ellie?
Yeah, Micah mentioned a little bit, but they told us a lot about fun button history. So they were officially invented in Newark, New Jersey. That's where the patented button was invented. But Chicago has also seen a lot of button manufacturers. since the late 1800s. Kristen told us an interesting story about a food canning company that might have made a button before buttons were officially patented.
There's one button that's like kind of was invented before the button is from 1892, and it was there was only two known designs, but it was actually from Chicago. It was a Chicago food like can maker. And so he made him, he was going to the Republican convention that was that year in Minnesota. So he made these two designs, but there are no buttons for 4 years. And it's kind of an interesting story.
Wow. So not only did you see the museum, but you guys actually saw buttons getting made, Micah?
That's right.
What was that like?
Yeah, so I mean, people who are interested in making their own buttons, they can come up with that design and then send that over to Busy Beaver. And basically what they do is they print it, they cut it out, and then they start with the assembly. And so Joel talks a little bit more about that too.
So it has five components. It has a shell and then the artwork and the plastic cover and then the back and then the pin. So they all come together and then they get under pressure, they get cinched together. It's still a very manual process where you're still feeding everything in a direction, one part at a time.
Sounds so cool.
It was really interesting to see because they had different stations set up. We saw a couple of folks sitting down at the station and they were putting down those different parts that Joel was talking about. And then you could see the machine sort of turn each button. And then there was a section where it pressed it down to actually form the button itself. Mm. And then at the very end, there was like a little sticky thing that like picked it up and then like flung it into like a bucket. And then there was like a counter and you could see like how many buttons that person had probably made that day. And we saw someone who had gotten to 1,896.
Oh my goodness. Are these just visitors or you mean
those
staff?
Are people that actually work there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, that's a lot of buttons.
That is a lot of buttons.
And 1896 is a really fun number because that's when the button was invented. So
yes. It was a coincidence. I mean, got lucky with that one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, who should come visit this museum, Ellie?
Oh my gosh, anyone who's interested in American history, pop culture, or anyone who just appreciates a good collection. It's a super cute museum. And so I think anyone would have a really good time there. Bring your friends and family because you can learn from what others are drawn to or remember about kind of their lives.
Yeah.
It was super sweet hearing Kristen actually talking about how she sees family stop by the museum.
You can hear like the grandparent talking to the grandkid about, oh, this was this, you know, or I remember this. It's fun when it happens.
Oh, that's very sweet. Well, before we let you both go, what should people know if they are interested in visiting the Button Museum?
Well, I think the first thing people should know is where it is. So it's located in the Logan Square neighborhood, and it's at 3407 West Armitage Avenue.
Okay.
The museum's open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the thing you need to do is ring the doorbell, and someone will open the door for you. And one last thing to note is that everyone gets a souvenir button.
Oh, yes. Great.
Once they visit. So.
I love takeaways.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
For sure. It sounds like so much fun. We've been talking with Reset producers Micah Yason and Ellie Gilbert-Bear. Now, for more in our series of Off the Beaten Path museums, head over to wbez.org/reset. We recently visited a museum in Bridgeport that's bursting with post-punk lore. Also, one in the Gold Coast that's stitching together the history of surgical science. And now, if there is a lesser-known museum or gallery that you think that we should check out, leave us a voicemail. Our number is 888-915-9945. Again, that's 888-915-9945. Micah and Ellie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yason and Ellie Gilbert-Bear. And it was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Micah Yason and Ari Mejia. Reset's here to inform and take you around Chicago. So if you're interested in hearing more, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.